1 Thessalonians chapter 1, Lord willing. This will be the last Sunday I say that, so it's taken us a while, but we're making progress. Rick, what's the situation with the guy you had us pray for? Do you have you heard anything? The assistant pastor that had the aorta problem?
He's still hanging out.
Is he? Okay. 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 All righty. We're living in a day when many people profess Christ, but few seem to possess Christ. It was interesting. My wife and I were visiting yesterday morning, and the visit was out on Cherokee Mountain Road. Does anybody know where Cherokee Mountain Road is? Oh, a lot of you do. Well, I guess, you know, you've been around. And so we're driving out in the sticks, you know, and hallelujah, thank the Lord for GPS and to find this home. On the way there, we saw a sign that said estate sale. And so I said to my wife, hey, you want to stop on the way back through and we'll just kind of see if we find anything. And the people weren't home. We stopped the estate sale. And first they harassed us because they said we were dressed too well for an estate sale. But we stayed anyway and found a nice suitcase we're going to take to Brazil with us. So that was a blessing. But while I was buying it, I gave the lady a track and I said, hey, here's some literature from our church. Help you know how you can know you're going to heaven. And she said, boy, she said, I just don't think many people are going to make it to heaven. And I said, well, you know, the good news is anybody who has faith in Christ will make it to heaven. Now, I think what her point was is that there are many people who profess to be believers and their life doesn't back it up at all. And probably everybody here knows somebody that says they're a believer, but you look at their life and you say, this is extremely rampant, of course, in the South. Here in the Bible Belt, everybody's been saved at least once, some twice, sometimes three times. And the amazing thing to me is everybody's uncle, and you know, their uncles, everybody's got an uncle who's a preacher. It's amazing. I think every fifth person in Northeast Tennessee must be a preacher because, you know, oh yeah, I'm saved. How do you, well, I made a profession. They're sitting there drinking their beer and they're going, you know, obviously living a wild life, but, oh, and my uncle's a preacher, you know, okay. So, oh, you're all right then, you know, it's okay. Paul is writing the church at Thessalonica and he said, I know that you people are saved. I know you're saved. And we've been looking at this for some time. And he is being thankful for their salvation. And he gives a couple reasons he knows they're saved. This is review. But he said, when the gospel came to you, it came in power. It was obvious the Holy Spirit was working. And we gave it to you with assurance that God was speaking to your heart. You received it as the word of God. And that we saw that up through verse 5. And then in verse 6, he says, and you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. He said, not only how you received the gospel, but your response to tribulation. A true believer can respond to tribulation with joy, because they are indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. Now, he said, you became followers of us. Is there a time in Paul's life when he really illustrated how a believer should handle affliction? What's that? Yeah, in the jail of Philippi. What a wonderful example. Here they were unjustly beaten. They were unjustly thrown in a dungeon. And what are they doing? They're sitting there at midnight. And here's what we'd be doing, wouldn't we? Nobody knows the trouble I've seen, right? And what are they doing? They're singing and praising God. Now, how could they do that? It's always interesting to watch folks in our church family when they go through trials and how they respond. We went over, my wife and I, and visited with Mike and Robin probably a week and a half ago. And it was evident that God was helping them in this trial. And folks, when you go through a trial, A believer and an unbeliever can go through the same trial, and a believer should respond very differently from an unbeliever. We really should. And we've seen that in many of your lives. If you've gone through trials, and it's been obvious that God helped you. Now, Paul said, look, you followed our example. Now, here's the neat thing. Look at verse 7. So that ye were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. Paul said, you followed the way we did it, and now you have become the example of how it ought to be done. And the word there for in sample is the word tupos. It's the word type. And it's the idea of taking a die and striking something and leaving a pattern. And he said, you folks have become the pattern. And it's interesting, not for unbelievers. That's a pretty low standard. He said, you have become the pattern for believers in Achaia and Macedonia. Now, Macedonia is where Thessalonica was. It would be northern Greece. Achaia would be southern Greece. He said, look, your testimony is so strong that everybody in Greece knows the way you responded, and you have become a model, a pattern for them. Now, that's pretty exciting, folks. Let me ask you a question. If I had a trial come into my life, and I needed an example of how to respond to that trial, could I look at your life and say, boy, that's how I want to do it. That's the spirit I want to have. That's how I want to respond. That's what Paul's saying. And it's interesting, folks. He does not say this about any church. He does in all of his epistles, he never says to any other church, you are an example of how people should respond. Except to this church right here. This is why it's a model church. Now, if you're thinking this morning, which I know is painful and difficult, your question should be, why are they an example? Why did Paul say, you folks are a model for everybody else? And I want to give you three things this morning, and we're going to see those in the next three verses, verse 8 through 10. Now, it's interesting. It was difficult for me to kind of nail down where verse 7 belongs. So I've kind of stuck in the middle here. He says, you became followers of us, of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that you were examples or in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia, period. Okay? So obviously, that thought goes with verse 6. However, how does verse 8 start? Because... So verse 7 is also tied into verse 8. He said, you are a model, you are a pattern for or because. Here we go, three things. Number one, verse 8. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. Number one. We're going to see three things. Number one, they had new words. They had a witness. Now, you look at that, and what does it mean? Well, the word sounded out is an interesting word. It is the word to trumpet, to play, to ring out loudly. And here's what he's saying, folks. You're a model church because some great news rang out from you. It was trumpeted from you. It wasn't timid. It was confidently given to everybody around you. In fact, it is so strong, we've heard about it all over Macedonia and even points beyond. Now, what was their message? That their football team won. Right? Now, there's nothing wrong with sports if they're kept in the right place. But hallelujah, when we're talking to believers, they'll talk to you about ball. I mentioned last week, Bennett, the guy at working there in your mother-in-law's. And now, he would have talked to me all day about the New England Patriots. But when I talked to him about the Lord, he had to get to work. You know? But I would have done that man a disservice if all I had done is talked about Tom Brady. Because he needs to know about the Lord. What if the main conversation is what's on sale? You call all your friends. You just have to put it on Facebook. That's what you do now. And, oh, Belk's has a sale. 90% off, you know. Now instead of $5,000, it's only $1,000, you know. But their price, you know. If you ever buy anything at full price at those places, you're crazy. Hallelujah. Well, anyway, some of you are mad at me now about that. But that should not be our main topic of conversation. It shouldn't be about the weather. By the way, if you're upset about the weather, talk to the one who can take care of it. None of us can, okay? It's not how great their last vacation was. What did they tell people? Look at the verse. For from you sounded out what? The word of the Lord. The word of the Lord, the gospel. This was their message. Now think about this, folks. Here's this little church of newly saved people. And as Paul travels all over Macedonia and Achaia, all over Greece, what does he hear? He hears these people already know about the faith of the people at Thessalonica. It sounded out all over the place. Now, how do you think that happened? Yes, sir.
That was a question.
Yeah. What's the answer?
You were talking about or not, right?
Yes, sir. How did it happen? How did it happen?
God has given me somebody to at least say, hey, if you die today, you know you're going to heaven. Monday, I was hanging some sheetrock at my house and working on getting ready to put some garage doors up, and I came by the church for some reason, I don't know what it was. I need something, and they were working on the computers. And it was a new guy. Aha! A new guy. Fresh meat. So I said, hey, I met James. And I said, James, look, buddy, we're glad to have you working on our computers. They're working on our exchange and problem we're having. And I said, look, if you were to die today, do you know you'd go to heaven? He said, oh, I do. I said, really? How do you know? He said, well, I was gave this testament. It's a good testament. I should have written all this down. I remember every day. Of course, yesterday we went visiting, and of course I talked to the ladies at the estate sale, and there was quite a crew of them there. And we knocked on a guy who visited church here and talked to him. There were several others. Let's see if I did. Maybe I thought I wrote these down. Oh, I know. Thursday they're working on putting a coating on our roof in the gym, and three guys are working. Two I knew, one I did not, and I talked to Daniel, and Daniel goes to church, but he's not saved, and got to give a clear presentation of the gospel to him. I got my hair cut this week. New barber over here. I know you don't realize I do have to get both of them cut every once in a while. And TJ, I met TJ over here, and talked to TJ, said he was a believer. And every day, it's amazing. When you start praying, God, give me somebody to give the gospel to, it's amazing what God does.
Sure.
Now, again, I'm a little embarrassed that I'm telling you all this, but hallelujah, folks, you may be in the same boat. And you got to pray and ask God to give you them, and then you got to look for them. How many of you guys, be honest, guys, have gone to the grocery store and your wife gave you a list of 7 things to get, and you came back with 5, and she said, couldn't you find, and you said, no, I didn't see it anywhere. Now be honest.
I have never done that.
And truth be told, you forgot, you didn't even look. And the reason you didn't find it, because you didn't look, okay? You were telling the truth. Now look, here's the point. Okay? Some of you are confessing now too. Here's the point. Reason
5 for 7 is pretty good.
Is we're not looking for people to witness to. It's really that simple. It's that simple.
Brother Gary, what Brother Page always prayed to God giving somebody every day. You remember?
It's possible. You may have.
Yeah.
It's very possible. I tell you, folks, this church was a model church. Because as Paul traveled all over Greece, he met people who had heard the word of God from the Church of Thessalonica. Let me ask you a question. How many people this week have you given the gospel to? Now, this is a model church made up of model believers. If we're model believers, we should be just like them. And I want to encourage you folks. You are not here to make lots and lots of money and get lots and lots of stuff. We're going to talk about the last point. If you're born again, folks, you are here to tell other people about Christ. That is your job. That is what we ought to be doing. And I just want to encourage every one of you as a believer. Begin to pray, Lord, give me somebody today that I can give the gospel to. Anna Marie was sharing with me before class, we have her sister-in-law in Germany, who is an unbeliever. She's on our prayer list, Monique there. And how God is beginning to work. The lady works at a casino in Germany, and she was bored, and she found a bunch of books, and right in the middle of those books, at a casino, she found a Bible. And she began reading the Bible. And Anna Marie's been Skyping with her and witnessing to her and giving her the gospel. And she started Genesis. She's encouraged her to move over to Matthew and read about the life of Christ. That's exciting. That's exciting. Folks, we just need to stop and say, you know what? Why am I here? What does God want me to do? Now, if you'd like to crawl into your seat, I'll join you, okay? Because all of us can do a whole lot better. I just want to encourage you, folks. This church was a model church. They were a type. They were a good pattern because they were faithfully giving out the word everywhere they went. By the way, it's interesting. The first generation church is the only church that gave the gospel to all the known world. Now we're up to 7 billion people, and billions have never heard the gospel, and I wonder if we're not the problem. Okay? So, number one, you say, hurry on, Seaman, I will, okay? Number one, new words. Secondly, look at the passage. Verse 9, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had into you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Also, they had new ways. They had new words, they had new ways. They turned to God from idols. Now, the word turned is the idea of you're going one direction, and you turn and you go another direction. In Scripture, it is often translated converted. Do you know that's what conversion means? Now, we think of that, we think of repentance. But this conversion means a change of direction. It is a once-for-all act. It's a single act. It's definite, deliberate, decisive. It is a change of life. If you are a true believer, you should have, when you got saved, you should have a changed life. Your life today ought to be different from the unbelievers around you. I find it interesting we used to emphasize that they left the idols and they went to Christ. Really, what does the passage say they did? They turned to God, and I really wonder if we've got the thing backwards. When you turn to God, what are you doing? Well, you're leaving the idols, aren't you? But they're turning to the living water. And when you've got the living water, why do you need that which is not satisfied? When you have a God who is alive, why do you need that which is dead? And they left the idols and they turned to serve God. Now, aren't you glad we don't have idolatry today in America? Now, obviously, I don't know that if I went to your house, if any of you would have wooden idols at a family altar that you bow down to every day. At least I hope not. Probably never did. But boy, is there idolatry in America today? What are some things that's ladies, just let me start with the ladies here because they want to say this one. What is some of the things, ladies, that are idolatry today in America?
Sports.
Come on, go ahead, spit it out.
Sports.
Yeah, I didn't have to pry too much, did I? And then, of course, the men would respond.
Shopping.
There you go. But think about things, possessions. And I tell you, by the way, I agree with whoever said sports. This is personal testimony time here. I'm just going to bear it all to you. I don't watch anything live anymore. I record everything, which is a wonderful thing. I can watch a ball game in an hour now, and not 3 hours. It's such a blessing. But I did take an hour to watch Tennessee play Florida last week, and I was so aggravated. And I thought, I'll be honest, when they scored the touchdown, I said, it's over. It's going to be 10-9. We're going to lose this thing. And sure enough, it did. And I got done, and I was just all torn up. And I said to my wife, how stupid am I? It's a game! A game!
What's
she saying?
Yeah.
What's she saying? You are stupid! No, she didn't say that. Still happy with her. At least I am. I'm not sure if she's happy. Boy, isn't it amazing how things can grab you and control you? Now let's stop. Now let's bring it home. When we get more concerned about a game than we do about people dying and go to hell, we've got problems. And if we're honest, many of us have that problem. And we will change our whole life to go to that game or watch that game. We make no attempt to reach people for Christ. It is an idol. Anything that becomes between you and God or something becomes something you worship, it comes first place in your life. We got trouble. In America, hallelujah, we are becoming a sports worshiping nation. It is tragic. But anyway, he said, look, these folks left idols and they became servants of God. You know what this passage is? The word doulos, you know that word. How is it really translated? Or what's the actual word?
Slave.
They became slaves of God. Now remember, we're looking at the model church. They gave new words. They gave the gospel. They had a new way. They quit serving all the junk and they started serving God. That's why they're among the church. I don't know what day it was this week, but it was like, you know, the old Ford commercial with the light that comes on? It was like that this week. And I've heard this all my life, and I know this, and I think about it. But I got up one morning, and you know, I said, you know what I'm going to do today? In everything I do, Lord, help me to please you. Yeah. Just please you. Just make God happy. Now, I know it's kind of a weird way to say it, make God happy. I should go back to please God, all right? Now, think about that for a minute. Isn't that what serving God is? If you're serving your boss, what is your goal? Make the boss happy, okay? Do whatever the boss says so you can make the boss happy. My goal as a employee of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church is to make Pastor Jody happy. That he's happy with what I do. It was true with Preacher Lashley. Now, it's a little more fear involved with that than there is with Pastor Jody, but it's the same thing. You're trying to please them, okay? You know what every believer ought to do every day of your life? God is your master. And you get up and you say, Lord, help me to please you today. Now, think about this. Lord, help me to please you by what I say. Be real quiet, wouldn't it? Lord, help me to please you with what I do. Help me to please you with what I think. It's interesting. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 1. Aren't you thankful for a nice dry place?
Hallelujah. Yeah.
Pouring out there. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you receive of us how you ought to walk, and to do what? please God so you would abound more and more. He said, you've already figured out you need to please God, and you need to abound in it more and more and more. Think how it would change your life today if you said, everything I do today, I want it to bring a smile to God. I want it to please Him. By the way, how do you do that? Hebrews chapter 12, 13. How is it possible to preach? How about 11? But without faith, it is impossible to please God. You see, I have to say, you know what? There is a God in heaven who will reward me for doing right. I will do right by faith. I cannot see God. I believe His word. And I'm going to seek to please Him with everything I do. It'll revolutionize your life, folks. It really will. When you can say, God, today, if it pleases you, I'll do it. If it doesn't please you, I won't do it. If it pleases you, I'll say it. If it doesn't please you, I won't say it. If it pleases you, I'll think it. If it doesn't please you, I won't think it. God, help me to please you in everything I do. My, that will change our lives. So here we are. These folks had new words, new ways. Let me give you one more final verse 10. Back in 1 Thessalonians 1. They had a new way team. A new way team. Here it is. And to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Most of us are waiting for our next vacation with great anticipation. Waiting for the next raise. Waiting for the lottery, you know, that ticket to come in. That's another sermon right there. Waiting for the next sale or the next sporting event. Whatever it is, what should we be waiting for with great expectation? Return of the Lord. Return of the Lord. Tell you what, we're talking about life-changing things here, folks. I wonder today, it is 10:44. Have you thought today that Jesus could come back today? Have you thought today about the imminent return of Christ? Tell you what, folks, it'll change how you live. It'll make you live a holy life. It'll make you live a life of service for Him. Jesus could come back anytime. And these new believers were looking to the sky, folks, waiting for the return of Christ. I'm afraid most of us are living for here and now, and that's it. These folks were looking for Christ. Now, here's a model church. They are a pattern church, made up of pattern believers, people that we ought to be like. Let me ask you three things. Do you have new words? Are you telling people about Christ? You say, well, I've never had a soul winning course. I was reading my devotion in John chapter 4 this week. What's John chapter 4? What's in there? Bible content. Graham Ford has a famous sermon, The Woman, the Well, and the Resurrection. Okay, let's take it up, John chapter 4. The Samaritan woman. It's interesting. When she found out Christ was the Messiah, what did she do? She went back to the town and she told the people, here's a guy who told me everything I ever did. He knows all about me. And those people came out and it said they believed because of her testimony. How long has she been saved? A few minutes. A few hours. She didn't know all the answers. But she pointed people to Christ. If you're a believer here today, do you know how you became a believer? Tell somebody else about it. Tell them you realized you were a sinner on your way to hell, and that Christ came and died for you, and you placed your faith in Christ, and now you know you're going to heaven. That's it. Tell them what happened to you. Spread the word. Pray. I challenge you to pray every day. Lord, give me somebody that I can tell about Christ, and then start looking and see what God does. See what? Do you think God wants you to witness? Do you think if you pray, Lord, give me somebody to give the gospel to, don't you think He's going to do it? They had new words. Secondly, new ways. They quit serving the junk of the world. They started serving God. Thirdly, a new way. They started looking for Christ. Looking for the imminent return of Christ. He could come back anytime. And it caused them to live for Him. Live holy lives. Live lives of service for God. Let me ask you a question. Are you a pattern believer? Are these things true in your life? Are you a witness? A changed life, a servant of God? Are you trying to please Him every day? And are you looking for the return of Christ? Three pretty good things, folks. If we would do those things, we'd have a life that counts for all eternity. We could have impact on all those around us. I challenge you to become a model believer like the Church of Thessalonica. But Lord, again, as I've talked today, you challenge my heart. And God, I pray that you help us to examine our lives right now and to see where we need to improve. Well, maybe it's our words, maybe it's our life that needs to be changed, our way. Maybe it's a waiting for Christ in anticipation of His return. God, oh, may the Word of God speak to us and change us and make us into what we ought to be. In Jesus' name, amen.